For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the only podcast that knows whether or not Robin Lehner is actually shut down for the season, but it's a secret we'll never tell. It's time to do a little bit of stargazing. Special edition. I guess we need the newsy sound. But Mark and I are getting together to get a quick one done here before maybe a mediocre, medium-sized game Tuesday, Mark. Not a lot's going on, right?
Not a whole lot. I'm kind of interested in what's going to happen with the, with those Brandon Wheat Kings goalies that we're going to be watching.
What is the latest on before we dive in? What is your kind of quick and dirty Wheat Kings update?
The Wheat Kings have a undrafted goaltender from 17-18 and a sixth round draft pick from I believe 2 years later, who are going to be your starter and your backup against your Dallas Stars tomorrow night, or actually Tuesday night, whenever we get this up. So the Wheat Kings are apparently a direct pipeline into the Vegas net.
Well, you know, given somebody's got to be, the Vegas net is in flux, which matters, of course, and segueing this abruptly, part of why we're doing a quickie cast tonight is tomorrow night is a, it's not quite a play-in game between the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Knights. There are still two games for each team after that, so things could always get squirrely, and I don't think we made it this far being Stars fans without the knowledge that things could get squirrely. But it's pretty close to I guess I take that back. Looking at the standings, I'm pretty sure a win tomorrow eliminates Vegas. Am I crazy?
It's a play-in game for Dallas, but that of course scares us as Dallas Stars fans because since they don't actually have to win. And there's a possibility that they could lose tomorrow and still qualify. Starzing says,
"Well, that's
trouble."
That's fascinating, though, because Starzing is biffing it when you have to win. But like, if it's a fake must win, does your fundamental Starzing activate?
No, you have to set up the actual Starzing a game or two before, or else you can never get to Starzing.
That's right. Proper Starzing would be winning tomorrow and then losing out to lose the playoff spot, but that no longer seems possible. So it's a pickle.
Yeah,
it's a pickle.
I think I saw a scenario where everybody ends up with 93 points and the Stars lose on the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
so, they have no... there's possibilities there.
Yeah, because at this point realistically, Los Angeles at 96 points. I think they're done. I think they would need, they've got two games left, so they can get to an even hundo. I guess I take that back. If Los Angeles loses out and Vegas wins out, they could still get past. Math is fun. But there's Dallas of the remaining teams that haven't clinched, Dallas has the fewest regulation wins. And so the narrative for the Stars is they've got to get in on, by virtue of having more points, because they will lose the tie. They lose the tiebreaker to Nashville. They lose the tiebreaker to Vegas. I think they even lose the tiebreaker to Vancouver. If Vancouver, and it is stretching the bounds of plausibility to call them in it, but I think we still contractually have to. It's gonna be a pretty big game, and it's on the heels of what in retrospect might be a surprisingly big game against Seattle, of all things. And you know, Mark, we're gonna get into the details, but the immediate thing that's kind of popping into my brain is Dallas has to vanquish in successive games two of their most mortal enemies. So against Seattle, they had to vanquish the evil 6-on-5. Pulled goalie protecting a one goal lead end of game scenario. And then against Vegas, by all reports, they're going to have to vanquish the backup goaltender. And these are things that Dallas really struggles to do.
Well, and let's face it, you're very likely going to see a backup goaltender against Anaheim and Arizona, too. So that we may get the triple play there on the backup and going into that last game against the Ducks. Who knows? I seriously doubt if we're seeing Gibson.
Oof, it's going to be it's a stretch. It's why we're here. It's why we're doing this. Let's start with you know, of course, Seattle. We talked about when we last podcast, it was right before it was in the middle of the Edmonton game, which, of course, Dallas lost. Dallas then proceeded to lose against Calgary as well, which were sobering because, you know, this was against the 4 and the 5 seed and Dallas, you know, didn't particularly look up for it, which is a shame, but it kind of put them in a position where all of a sudden, I remember tweeting at the time, they had to beat 4 relatively bad teams to make the playoffs. And is there a better referendum on this era of the Dallas Stars than having to do that? And so, of course, I plan a family vacation for the Saturday they're playing Seattle. And of course, I am taking my lovely, loving family to Medieval Times, which I guess Vegas Knights foreshadowed.
You were a little early on that.
Well, I did go to the early show, so I was thinking that. So I spent the first period watching Medieval Times, which is fantastic, by the way. I recommend it if you've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. But so by the time I get out of Medieval Times and, you know, riding the high of the Red Knight, defeating the evil Green Knight, go Red Knight, and I'm checking my phone for the score, of course I see that it's 2-0 Seattle, which is about when I start digging into the news and seeing all of the reports of their nightmare day of travel. And Mark, I got to be honest, I was feeling the bleakness as I kind of raced home to catch the end of the first intermission. Where were you mentally at the start of that Seattle game?
It was not happy times in the Zimmerman household. I was pouting. And I'd heard all the travel stuff, and you just know that there aren't going to be any legs. And then you see them start to come back. But in the comeback, you see the start of this dreadful dissension in the ranks of the top line, where Roope Hintz is stealing goals from Jason Robertson. and you know, that's probably going to keep Robo from getting his 40. So it's going to be tough to see how that line survives that kind of robbery.
Wow, that is I think the hottest take you have ever heated up for this podcast. Pavelski's going to have to sit his boys down, and they're going to have a hard chat about this.
Yeah, they may have to split that lineup now, because I mean, and I mean, doing it from your rear end, you know, it's kind of the utmost of arrogance.
Or counterpoint, scoring goals has become boring for Jason Robertson, and he wanted to. He called the bank shot
because
that was like the double tweener off the butt stick goal, because Pavelski's pass through the slot got through skates, and then Robertson didn't shoot around. He handled the puck through the defenseman's skates as well, and his shot on goal came tweeners. So it was like the double tweener butt shot, which will forever go down in Stars history.
Yeah, well, and you know, the whole game has to end. You know, how does Dallas win the whole thing? A forechecking steal by Denis Gurianov, feeding straight off of injury Vladislav Namestnikov for the winner. I mean, this is just the way you're going to draw it up.
Especially, yeah, with Gurianov's yo-yo lineup. Yeah, it was, you know, credit is due, though.
Yeah, I mean, that line, obviously Eriksson was contributing in his 5-6 minutes, so he should continue to get looks. And I think even with that assist, Gurianov probably pulled almost 9 minutes, so they were rewarded for their effort.
And you hope with the way that he has been played and some of the comments that have been made by Bonus when he's not been played, like, one of the encouraging things about Gurianov's assist is it's exactly what the team asked him. You know, it was a second effort getting the puck deep. It was a second effort creating a turnover. It was a, you know, direct pass to an open skate. It was whenever they talk about Gurianov in struggle mode, right? It's always because he's tentative. It's because he's not using his, it's because he's not using his speed. It's because he's not hard on the puck, right? That assist was all of the things that people kind of call him out for when things aren't going well. So it was nice to see them score a goal, obviously situationally, but it was also nice to see them score a goal in that way because of how much that's been a kind of pain point for him as a player with this coaching staff.
Right. And he obviously could have taken the easy route and gone in front of the net just to try and cut the playoff coming around the other side.
Yep. Or taken the drive by behind the back of the net as well. Right. You did a half-hearted stick swipe and keep skating.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was that was a good sign. I like to see that from Gurianov.
Yeah, I did as well. And I also just as a team in general, right? And this is one of those, I'm usually not a huge excuse guy, but reading the story and the travel and all that, like I think this was a really good win at the end of the day for the Dallas Stars. And what I think it comes down to is like they're a better team. Superior, you know, at every position in Seattle. They should have absolutely won that game. They needed to be winning that game. It was an important game. I mean, Seattle's got a 3.72 points percentage. Like they are terrible. And with a boatload of adversity, right? Dallas played the one elite period that they needed to play to win that. You know, how many times have we lamented on this podcast the 20 or 40 minute Stars, and they can never quite string three full periods together. And on Saturday, they absolutely couldn't, but they played one period that was good enough to get those 2 points. And I think in the final analysis, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. And I mean, the team had every reason when they were down 2-0 to tank it, because they were on no sleep. They were tired. That's just guts to push back and get that 3 goals.
And you can even make following the excuse time, thread, right? You could even say, hey, travel, it's going to cost us this game. We've still got 3 more, including the big head-to-head. Yeah, we can afford to punt Seattle as long as we take care of business against Vegas, Anaheim and the final game of the season. It's Arizona, right?
I think Arizona and then Anaheim.
Flip them. But you can see the narrative taking shape, right? You can see the team sitting at the podium after that, after a 2-0 loss to Seattle, and saying, hey, we're not going to make excuses. We were gassed. We've got 3 more shots. We've still got this, right? We can still, even had they lost, right, we still control our destiny. So it was, given this team, it was really gratifying that instead we're sitting here talking about that team got that, and even they played better than the score would indicate in the first. So it's not like they were brutal, kind of brutalized, but it's a team that picked itself up off the mat, got a really tough win, and now can settle down, and they've been good at home all season, and they've got 4 to close it out. They, checked one off the list, and guess what, right? One game gets them in theoretically, and there's still a little bit of cushion after it. So it's a good position to be in heading into Tuesday night.
Well, yeah, and especially if you watched any hockey on Sunday night, I mean, that there were 2 games that were just so fun to watch and ultimately pretty critical to what the Stars were doing. I mean, San Jose scores 2 6-on-5 goals, which that's very reminiscent of what the Stars
were playing.
They're playing the Sin City version. And one of those goals goes in with 1.5 or 0.9 seconds left. That's it. That was 1 point away from Vegas. And then on the other hand, Nashville does kind of come back and tie up a game, so they get their loser point. But then with 1.5 seconds left in the game, give up an overtime goal to only take the 1 point. So right there within an hour or so, good things happened for the Stars, and in a pretty exciting way.
They did that night, and it really, and we'll start transitioning into the Vegas game. Anything else you want to highlight? Anything else you saw against Seattle that's kind of worth harping on?
I mean, the only thing I would say is that we have 2 games in on the reemergence of the Ben Sagan, Raffle line, and it's got to go. That's just, I mean, the numbers are pretty clear there. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the other piece, the cold water moment, as gutsy and as great as the win against Seattle, the cold water moment is that game was still driven by the top line plus Miro.
Yeah. And I mean, going back maybe a little further, but watching Kiviranta and Studenich on the same line is kind of fun.
And Kivi, he's had a year. We will look back and make sweeping revelations about Juho Kiviranta after this season, I suspect.
Yeah, the goals certainly aren't there, but that's a chaos line right there with those two. They may not score goals, but they're going to create some opportunities, and I wouldn't want to be trying to manufacture a zone exit with them coming after me.
Yeah, it is chaotic. Okay, so Dallas gets their 2 points. They've got, as we mentioned, they've got the big showdown tomorrow night. Then they've got Arizona and Anaheim. And at this stage, as we sit and speak, Dallas could finish as high as the first wild card spot. So they are a point behind Nashville. Nashville's got 94 points and arguably a tougher run-in towards the end of the season. Nashville was able to get to overtime. And then they could still, at this point, finish out of the playoffs, right? So anywhere from, I believe, ninth through seventh in the conference. There's quite a bit of variation left. You know, of course, the news broke last week that Leonard was getting shut down for the season. Then the news unbroke when he said, no, I'm still playing. Then he got, you know, he gave up one goal on 13 shots in the first period, got himself pulled. There's all sorts of weirdness going on in the Vegas crease right now. There were some comments about how the highest paid players needed to do what they needed to do by the coach, which is never a big thing. And all of a sudden, Dallas Leonard is again shut down and they're facing Logan Thompson tomorrow night in a must win game. And it's, what's your read? Who's got the advantage?
The world's rooting for the Stars right now. I mean, the way that organization has treated their players, and I mean, this Leonard thing, if you read behind the scenes, it's pretty obvious that they had him sticking around for an extra game because they couldn't afford to bring somebody up for one more game because of cap issues, and they've been playing stupid cap games for the whole year, and this is a team that just doesn't really have its administrative act together, and not in a player centric way. So, you know, it's the world against Vegas at this point, and God help them.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need it. So that, you know, it's interesting to me as well, because it's you know, they're not doing anything that Tampa didn't do, and they're not doing it. And even before then, Chicago's done it. The idea that this long term IR, you know, playoff, no salary cap loophole is somehow new is a false narrative. Don't buy it. But, you know, Vegas is the most egregious example. And it's a really good example of, if it had worked, they would have made it into the postseason with a, you know, star heavy, you know, phenomenal, like the roster on paper is fantastic. And if they could have clawed their way into playoffs and been healthy, right. But the, you know, it's always the fine print that gets you. And Vegas finds himself in a position where to acquire all of that top end talent, right? They've had to mortgage off so many of their, you know, it's you know, so many of their cheap performing pieces, and looking at the way Alex Tuch is playing in Buffalo, and kind of thinking about they kind of got rid of their margin for error, and now that they're in the fight of their life, and if they may not make the playoffs, it may not be relevant, and God, they are just a catastrophe wrapped in a diaper lit on fire.
Yeah, if you aren't smart enough to understand that Dadonov, who you're trying to dump over to Anaheim, has a no trade clause, you aren't smart enough to play cap games.
Yeah, and you're not smart enough, and you're certainly not in a position to recover if your tightrope walking, you know, it's walking a tightrope between skyscrapers and the wind picks up, right? You're just kind of in trouble at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I think that organization at some point has to take a step back and figure out if they are the team, what is it, 3-4 years in now, that they wanted to be when they started out, because they started out like a house on fire and they have burned that to the ground.
Yeah. They all the goodwill, like it's they may very well have peaked as a brand new expansion team. And I'm not saying they're not going to be good again. They could absolutely get good again. You know, franchises stick around for a very, very long time. You know, it'd be like saying, well, Detroit's done now that they're, but like it is not out of the realm of possibility that Vegas will never have a better season than their first season in the league, which is kind of insane to think about.
And the rest of the world is hoping that they don't even sniff anything close to a Stanley Cup final for the next 20 years.
I mean, they may need that long to get out of cap hell. They've got, you know, they're capped out and they've got $10 million, almost $11 million on the long-term IR.
Oh, bless their hearts.
I mean, this is to pivot this back, because this is a Dallas Stars podcast. What the thing I will say before we start talking about our beloved team is, you know, the Klingberg extension, you know, the Lindell wars. Whenever we talk about the Dallas salary cap and some of the things, the gymnastics that they have to do, there's always a contingent that talks about, oh, this is a bad contract. The Sagan and Ben deals are ruining the franchise. There's always a voice that talks, you know, kind of doom and gloom about Dallas's situation. This is the quibble. Does Dallas have some deals that they might, if you had a magic wand, would renegotiate? Absolutely, right? Do they have some deals that have perhaps aged like milk? Sure, absolutely. Does Dallas have a salary cap problem? Go look at the Vegas Golden Knights cap friendly page. Whenever you feel like the Dallas Stars from a dollars and cents perspective aren't well managed, just take a peek at Vegas and woo-saw yourself into a firmer state of mind. Now, do they always spend their money wisely? You could say no, but Dallas is fine.
Right. And you know, I'm going to drag you right back to Vegas and say, you know, we have some cap issues and some decisions that you may not like as far as contracts that Jim Nils dished out, but players still kind of want to come to Dallas. Yeah. It's a player friendly place. The team has a lot of camaraderie going for it.
They get the guys they want. Right,
yeah. Who in their right mind is going to say, it looks all warm and fuzzy in Vegas, I think I'm going to go there because that's a great organization that's going to treat me well. You're going to get guys who are going to go to Vegas who are as mercenary as they can get.
And they're going to find out they're getting traded on Twitter. And yeah, there's just, yeah. You're absolutely right. Just in the history of Jim Nils' tenure with Dallas, right? They have consistently gotten the players they've wanted to sign in free agency, right? And they've kept the players they've wanted to keep. By and large, like, again, you can always argue about whether those decisions were wise ones. And you can look at the way certain deals end and think maybe there were extra years. There are, right? You know, like the Ryan Suter's or the final years of the Radulov deal, like there, it's not, I'm not saying that every decision they've made has been perfect, but I can't remember a time when Jim Nill really went all in on a player and was not able to get something done.
Right. Well, and my question to you is, have the Vegas Golden Knights, have they had a player on their roster yet who's going to have a banner go up to the rafters?
Ooh, good question. I mean, they've still got Marchessault and they've still got Riley Smith for now, right? Until they have to trade one of them to make the cap work. So you could sell me on one of the two of them. I mean, Alec Martinez has been pretty good for, like, it's that crew, right? You could maybe, I mean, they've got him until the end of 26-27. So maybe William Karlsson, just by virtue of he had that shooting percentage gorge first season, they signed him to a crazy extension. And like I said, he's not they've got the red arrows galore on their cap friendly page. So like it, you know, from that initial class, it's really Karlsson, Marchessault, and Smith as possibilities, but Smith is an RFA. They probably can't afford him. So
yeah.
Smith probably won't be with the team long enough to make that kind of impact. Maybe Mark Stone, if they win something while he's here.
Yeah, maybe.
You hope. But yeah, yeah, that's a fantastic question. Just looking at profiles, looking at how people play, performance, etc. Like, it may be to the point where the first guy that really has a chance to have that kind of impact over time is Jack Eichel.
Yeah, and I mean, Eichel is young, but he's had a decent, an interesting career to date, certainly for a 25-year-old.
And fun fact, he is signed for fewer years than William Karlsson.
and Mark Stone.
And Mark Stone. Yeah, I think it's two fewer years than William Karlsson and Alex Pietrangelo. So there you go. Yeah. Man, I feel I'm energized.
I'll give you a real, Dallas give you a real trivia. Situation. I'll give you a real trivia there and Zach Whitecloud.
Oof. So let's get back on the ice. We've got a big game coming up. So heading into Tuesday, no significant, you know, the old adage, right? By this time of year, everybody's hurt. They're all just hockey healthy. There's no real significant injuries on the Stars roster. In theory, Bonus can roll out whoever he wants to. They're already in Dallas. They're not traveling again for the rest of the season. This really does set up in a way that all the way from the roster they hand to start the game to each line change they make by virtue of being the home team, this is a game where Dallas tactically is going to have a lot of control over what happens on the ice. And that's got to be a pretty good feeling, right?
I would think so. And to tell you the truth, even though we got three goals against Seattle, offense for this team kind of comes in waves, and we've been down in the bottom for a while here, and the offense hasn't really gotten unclogged. I'm kind of thinking this is a game that's a breakout game for the Stars, and they just come to play and they take care of the deal.
I mean, we've said it in other situations, but I as far as their mentality goes, you should be right. Dallas now has a situation where they can. Sure, you want to get a higher seed and be great to cash Nashville. And there are nice to haves in those remaining two games against Anaheim and Arizona. But at the end of the day, Dallas can go to bed tomorrow night with a trip to the postseason booked. And yep. you have to think that, I mean, you have to think that that's a big carrot for these guys, right?
Yeah, I would think so, and it gives you a nice little game that you can rest some guys who might just have minor dings. So, I mean, there's just so many reasons why this should work, and it's just us Stars fans are so used to looking for the other shoe to drop, and so it's that paranoia of having seen this all happen before that's causing us not to be positive. And I'm going to choose to be positive now.
You know, I am as well. And it's also, I think it's a prospect of Dallas plays on the margins, right? It's why they're a minus 10 goal differential. They're the only team in this playoff chase, right? They're the only team in the top 10 in the Western Conference with a negative goal differential. Even Vancouver's a plus 10, and it's because they win a lot of one goal games. And
you know what? I'll tell you this. We care about that. I'll guarantee you nobody in the room cares about that. And I think that's why this team will do fairly well.
Well, the snarky new age fan in me wants to say that's part of the problem, but with the organization that they maybe should care a little bit more about things that are more predictable and sustainable over long term than victories in one goal games. But that is a perhaps off season conversation.
Well, it is, and the truth of the matter is, I think this group goes into every single game with a core belief that they are going to win that game. Yep. And especially when it's an important game, I worry much more about the Stars when they're playing, Ottawa, than I do when they're playing Colorado. Even
so, what because you're saying is that with Arizona and Anaheim looming, tomorrow is a must win.
Entirely possible. But those, maybe there's a slight difference when it's a team they should beat and they need to beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. And you know, I mentioned earlier the Logan Thompson has been good, so it's not quite as simple as the Dallas is like the Mark Donk meme of Pittsburgh Penguins fame. You know, put whoever you want with Sidney Crosby, they'll score a bunch of goals. Dallas's version of that is you can put whoever you want in net against the Dallas Stars. And as long as it's his first game at the NHL level, he's going to look like $1 million. So it's, you know, there's stuff that the snarky fan in me looks at and rolls my eyes, but this one really has, and we're courting all sorts of jinxes here. This one has really set up well for Dallas. There's a team in turmoil. They have had their scare, right? They absolutely could have dropped that game to Seattle. And you know, they lost back-to-backers against Edmonton and Calgary. They looked their playoff mortality in the face against the Kraken. And now they've got one game that can end all of the angst and nonsense. And they win that, and they get to start focusing on seeding and getting the minutiae right and making sure they're healthy and all of those things. So I think you're right. This is, you know, we talked about referendums. Like, this is a time for this team to show us that they have a strong veteran core, to show us some of the lessons that they, you know, and I'm getting all armchair and I'm, you know, but if in theory, right, this team learned lessons making it to a Stanley Cup final, tomorrow's a really good day to apply some of those lessons, I think.
I agree. And I'll counterpoint your reference to starting rookie goaltenders. If Vegas wanted to buy in that, what they would do is start Yuri Patera tomorrow.
It's true. Power of love cannot be denied.
Because that would be his debut, and that would push Starzing over the edge.
Oh my gosh, emergency exception contract. Yeah, if Yuri Patera takes the ice tomorrow, I think we know that Dallas isn't going to make the playoffs. Although yeah. Logan Thompson is also an emergency loan. So either way, like I said, Dallas is going to have to get back-to-back wins against their greatest nemesis.
But Thompson is the veteran, and they're going to be starting the veteran. So Thompson's that cancels Starzing.
It does. Oh man. All right. So we're gonna play the prediction game here. Give me what you think the score line's going to be, and then I want two numbers. I want the final score, and then I want scale of 1 to 10, 1 being totally chill, 10 being every vein in your forehead exploding anxiety. What will be your level of what do you anticipate your level of nervousness being heading into the third period of tomorrow's game?
5-2 for the final, and my level of nervousness going into the third is 11.
I echo you on the 11. I think Dallas is going to head into the third period trailing, get a couple of goals, win 2-1.
Ooh.
It's going to be one of those nights where they're playing pretty well, nothing's falling, just about the time we all throw up our hands and think, okay, Logan freaking Thompson's going to get us. We're going to get goalered again. They're going to find two goals in the third, maybe even late, and we're just going to be exhausted by the end of it, but they'll be in.
And Radek Fox scores the game winner?
Radek Fox. I almost lost. Taylor was slacking earlier about a time that she was in Las Vegas when Radek Fox got a hat trick, and it just, those words in my brain.
So we have some precedence here. I love it.
There we go. Fox is going to get the big win. But I do think it will be a good game. Because, you know, it'll be interesting to see Jack Eichel. I believe Mark Stone is back in the lineup at this point. So, you know, Vegas is still dangerous. This is not a bare bones team. They don't perhaps have the depth, but their top end can still go on any given night. It's not an opponent to take lightly by any stretch. And you just hope that, honestly, you hope that Seattle plus Edmonton plus Calgary, that three game stretch was enough of a cold water moment for this team to at least, you know, can you think of a better moment to throw out another Tampa Bay game, right? And just have one of those, exactly. Like, yeah.
Yep. Do what the team knows that it can do. I still think the offense is going to get unclogged and we're going to get some breaks. I mean, they've been going the other way. How many shots against Calgary went in off of Stars? Yeah. I mean, it's time for that to flip around a little bit.
As long as they keep pushing, as long as they keep trying to find a little bit of pace in the game, you hope that, you know, and it's just an assist, so it's not, but you hope that Gurionov having a little bit of success, maybe he earns himself a little bit more time. And one of the most galling things to me was Dallas going 1-for-5 on a power play in a game where they didn't even have Gurionov available. So you hope that they find enough and they get creative enough, and maybe it's another big night from Pavelski and Sons. Maybe it's, you know, we've had sightings of, you know, wouldn't this be a great opportunity for another beast mode Ben game, you know, get the team in. Or, you know, Sagan has been better lately, right? Some secondary scoring, but there's enough ways to get there. You just will have to wait and see how they do it.
I would love to see him reunite Gurianov with Ben and Sagan. I think that that's what they should do.
And we will see what they do. Mark, anything else you want to get off your chest before we see the puck drop tomorrow night?
Well, I'm going to have to kind of hop back and forth and watch a little bit of my Texas Stars and see if they can pull out a W and make the play-in round of the AHL playoffs. So it's a big night there for Texas and Dallas. So
yeah, Texas Stars going on a moose hunt.
Yep. Take care of that Winnipeg franchise one way or another.
Well, we will see. We will see. We'll probably, once the dust has settled versus Vegas, we'll sit back down and do a more in-depth podcast, hopefully looking at the prospects of the weeks to come for, I guess, well, no matter what, we were looking at the prospects of the week to come for Dallas Stars. We'll just hope that it's happy. In the meantime, we've got just a little under 24 hours until things get real. And it's nice to be excited without necessarily a bunch of fatalism.
I'm looking forward to it. Hope that doesn't bite me.
You know, you can look forward to something and still be disappointed. So I don't think it's going to bite you. But again, thank you for doing this, Mark. KT, for putting it all together. Thanks for listening. Please remember to like and download. And we will see you on Twitter tomorrow night, where I'm sure there will be plenty of memes and anger and hopefully some elation as well along the way. And three games left, and it's going to be a wild finish to the year.
That's right. Go to the game, bring some victory green, and make a lot of noise.
There you go. Go Stars.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.